Johnny and Johnny. What's up, everybody? It's me, Johnny, and with me, I've got DJD and Farmer.
Please keep that in.
Sure, I'll keep it in. And chilling in the booth back there is our boy Craig. What's up, Craig? How you doing? So, a couple weeks ago, not this last weekend, but the weekend before, there was a festival here in the city I live in, the Sakura Festival, like the Cherry Blossom Festival. But with it is the Sakura Road Race, where you and your family, you could run 1 kilometer. They did 10Ks, and they also did marathons. I didn't participate, but speaking of marathons, D, was there anything about that you want to talk about?
That's pretty good, actually.
We're professionals here at an AvCast. We're professionals.
A little personal anecdote to introduce the topic and then like pivot. Yeah, no, that was great. So Bungie had a live stream a few days ago, something like that, on the 12th. And gave us a bit of a more of a look at Marathon. Their first new franchise in 10 years. I'm guessing that neither of you saw this.
I'm leaving that pause in just to show my excitement. In this one, are we also not going to have time? You know, are they going to nerf my favorite helmet in this game too? What this is?
They probably will, actually.
Are they going to charge you 40 bucks for like a sentence of story a week? Is that what's going to happen?
Well, so actually, ironically, that's actually one of the pain points, perhaps, is that it looks like, we don't have confirmation yet, but it looks like the game's going to cost 40 bucks. And a lot of people are unhappy about this because it is an extraction PvP shooter. And so it's kind of sort of in the same like genre as, I mean, it's more like Hunt, I would say, than Apex. But then also with the amount of gunplay that they showed, I would say it kind of looks, and just like the feel of the map and everything, I would say that it's comparable to Apex as well.
So people want it to be free, like Apex.
So people want it to be free, yes.
It will Hold on. Yeah. First, we're mad that games cost $80. And by the way, it's not all games, right? It's Mario Kart was $80. Like, they didn't say that it was going to be the price point for everything. We're mad $80 for a game that's too expensive. D, think about all the homeless children who have Switches who aren't going to be able to play Mario Kart. Oh my god, this is I'm never gonna buy a Nintendo device again. $80, it's just greed. It's just greed. And now here we are. They're like, guess what, guys? This new game that we've been working on, it's a new IP. Y'all are gonna love it. $40. It's cheaper than a AAA game. And what are they saying? They're like, you know what? You should really give this to us for free. You know this whole product? It should be given for free. It should be a free item. What is going on? Why are people like this? Like, it's so stupid. For them to be like, well, Apex is free. Why isn't this free? Is this like things cost money. It's not free. Just pay for it. It costs money to make it.
Yes.
It costs money to pay the developers who are going to continue to. Well, why can't you make it up on skins? Because you're not going to buy skins either. The people who are like, this should be free, they're not going to buy skins either, right? They're going to be those people who play the game 120 hours a week to grind up on like the whatever in-game currency to buy whatever skin. You know, they're the opposite. What's the opposite of a whale? What is that? Is there a term for it? Can we invent a term for the opposite of a whale?
I wanted to say tuna fish, but that's me.
Like, it's like just, I don't know. But this is such a great example of gamers. I just want to point that out. It's too expensive.
Like an eel, right? An eel?
I was going to say a plankton. It's like a plankton, right? But like, on one hand, you have the people who are like, this is too expensive, I'm not going to buy it. And then you have the people who are like, really, you should just give us this product for free. Right? You know how they had those stupid things like you wouldn't download a car, right, to stop piracy? Could you imagine walking into a car dealership and being like, yeah, you know what? This car should really just be free. It's just ridiculous. Anyway, keep going. People, be better. Stop being like this.
The game will launch with only, allegedly, somewhere between 3 or 4 maps.
Okay.
Which is why people kind of want it, like, why people are kind of, like, not happy with the quote-unquote premium price.
For $40? Is that premium now?
We don't know that it's $40, but like premium basically means that it's a paid game, not a free game.
In this economy?
That's what premium means.
Oh my God. Premium. Hold on. No, I'm mad. I'm mad now. Hold on. Let me pull up the dictionary definition.
That's
of
just
premium.
That's the dictionary definition. That's the
of premium
industry,
is
quote unquote.
A sum added to an ordinary price or charge. Or an amount to be paid for a contract of insurance. Okay. Sure. I feel like this isn't the right kind of premium I'm talking about.
I don't disagree, but I mean, like, that's the term that the industry has used to differentiate between free games and paid games, is the word premium. So premium is basically that you're going to get a full game that you pay for. Regardless of the amount of content that game launches with. Now the question is, for that, and they haven't announced $40, that's just an estimate, but when asked about the price, like, because somebody reported that it was going to be full price, which means like 70 or 80, I guess now, they were like, no, it'll be a premium price game. And then somebody else anonymously replied back to one of these reporters, not anonymous to them, but like in terms of, like, you know, off the record kind of, that right. It won't be anywhere close to full price. So the estimate, kind of, because other games have launched that are kind of similar to this or whatever, like Concord, like bad example, but still, but or Helldivers is a better example. Or Hunt is a pretty good example too, you know, like there's other games that have launched at like around $40, you know, so $40 is probably a reasonable kind of estimate at this point, but we don't know, and we probably won't know until summer, until PlayStation showcase.
People have gotten used to even after, you know, Destiny became free, you know, everybody's like, okay, well, it's a, you know, it needs everything now. Since Bungie's on that train, everything should be free, and that's kind of the problem.
That's true, actually. Yeah.
When you do that sort of thing, you open yourself to those free to play people, and they're not going to let you go back.
But here's my question too: is like, I would hope that Bungie continues with the whole, like, we're never going to gatekeep like playable like maps, you know, because that's what they had back in the Halo days. And granted, they went off track a bit with that with Destiny 1 and 2, but like, I think those are different kinds of games, and so it kind of makes sense with the way that they structured those. I would hope that, like, to get the widest audience possible, that they would have the maps kind of included in that price point. So however many maps are launched, and then how many that they release, so on and so forth, that they would kind of do like Halo Infinite, where those maps are just free and part of the game. You know, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I would also hope that they're going to have 4 characters at launch, or no, I'm sorry, 6 characters at launch, but they only really introduced 4 during the gameplay reveal. I would hope that all 6 of those characters are included in that $40 price point too. Because if that is the case, then it makes a lot of sense that it's $40. Because, like, I mean, you know, you didn't even get that with Apex, really. You know, like, I mean, I guess you had your, like, roster, but like, I mean, as you'd go, you'd have to like buy characters or whatever as they continued to come out with new characters and stuff.
If you didn't have the time, you were pretty much forced to get the character you wanted, you know, by and large. And I think that's fairly common, but you know, they expect people aren't going to have time. Not everybody's going to have thousands of hours to blow to grind these characters, you know?
Right.
Not saying that they take that long, but you know, I'm just, you know, for instance, I mean, I think it takes like a good couple, 50 to 100 hours to probably grind one character out, you know, probably something like that. It's not an easy feat. And so they, you know, they kind of gatekeep them a little bit. And if you got a new character that is more of your playstyle, you're going to have to break down and get one character at least.
So here's the problem. I don't like that we're using the word gatekeep here, because I don't like gatekeeping. I'm not a fan of gatekeeping in most things, but in the sense of paying $40 for a video game, then I'm 100% for gatekeeping, right? Like, hey, you know what? Put it behind the paywall. Do it.
Right. I think that what Farmer and I are kind of like addressing, though, is like the idea of like actually holding back more content even further beyond that paywall, where you have to pay extra to get it. That would kind of suck. That would kind of not be great.
Yeah, the $40 paywall makes sense if you get, you know, up to so many characters, unlike the free to play game.
Like if you get the game, you know, the content that
right,
is there.
No, exactly.
At launch, yeah. That would make sense.
But isn't that the implication that you're buying a game so you're going to get a game? Isn't that the implication versus it being like, oh,
the definition
it's
is these days.
Where you're going to buy this, you're paying for a license to play this game, but you're actually not getting it. And I want to quick remove, so like pay to play, right? Like ESO was pay to play. Which, and then they also had a subscription-based service, I think 15 bucks a month. At the beginning, the subscription-based service wasn't really all that worth it to a lot of people, but as they kept adding more and more expansions, if you have the subscription, right, you get all the expansions, it became a much better deal. But the game that they launched, you still had quite a bit, right? And it's one of those that, like, over time, sure, like you're going to have to pay. Kind of like, you know, if Apex started with the six people, but then if you paid for the game like $40, they gave you everyone in the roster, but then like not the new people they add, over the years. Okay, like I can kind of like,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah,
but I want to come back to people want this game to be free, and I'm just so tired of gamers wanting free stuff. I'm tired of it.
Especially when we're talking about like a AAA game, you know, that's run by like a studio that expended a lot of resources to make it, you know, like this wasn't built in a garage with a box of scraps. Like this was, you know,
Tony Stark could have built this game in a cave.
The problem about free to play games in general is that they get you to kind of cater to a certain idea. And that is okay, but at some point you're just done with all the flood of, oh, buy this, grab this, you know,
yeah,
you know, give us the money because it's a free to play game, we got to make our money back, you know. I'm done with, you know,
100%.
I'm done with that.
I maybe this isn't totally right, but I would say I have enjoyed gaming less with like the advent of free to play games where you just pay for cosmetics and stuff like that. I liked it more when you paid for the whole game and when you paid for updates and stuff like that, 'cause then you could just not pay. I don't know. You could just not pay it. And sure, there's like the feeling left out. And I guess again, like they're like, you know, you're not widening your audience, but I don't know if it was directly because of that or just the way gaming has gone, right, as a hobby, and like how things in the market changes. But I preferred it the other way, where you were paying full price for stuff and you just got something.
Well, it felt like
another thing too is just that you got to experience that game without having to be, we're gonna use the word again, gatekeeped into that game. Because these days it's the whole, you know, FOMO of all this stuff to make sure you're keeping up with all this stuff, and then all the stuff you have to buy to make sure it's a continual spiral effect of you staying in the game. And again, I don't have anything against that. On the other hand, I have a huge problem with that, because then you can't play like we used to play a few hours of this game, and then I can actually go do something else instead of being like, man, I cannot leave this game and I'm so burnt out, but I don't want to miss out on anything.
That's exactly how I feel right now. Marvel Rivals just dropped season 2, and I don't know if I want to buy the battle pass, because they announced the battle passes are going to be shorter. I went through the other one, no problem, but I just got Helldivers 2 working on my Steam Deck again. And right. I'm like, oh man, I really want to start playing some Helldivers 2, but if I start playing Helldivers 2, I'm not going to have time to be playing Marvel Rivals, so I don't know that I want to buy that battle pass. And it's just like, man, I would have very happily paid full price for Marvel Rivals and just not deal with like battle pass stuff.
Yep.
Right? And then like the whole like, if I want a skin, I can just buy this skin. But like, I have to work through and do all of that stuff.
The whole way that you process the way you're going to game. And you're, again, in the back of your head, you always got this thing, I'm going to miss out, or I'm going to miss out on that. And you just have to bite the bullet. I mean, gaming was just easier back then.
Do you remember back a couple months ago when I was playing World of Warcraft all the time? I stopped my subscription because when I was playing WoW all the time, because I was paying, right? Yeah. I was like, I shouldn't play another game because I'm subscribed, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. That's always my problem with like subscribing to games. Yeah. But like when it comes down to Marvel Rivals, I don't know that I would have spent like $70 or even necessarily maybe 40 on that at like launch to play that. I don't know that I would have been like, it's Marvel Heroes and stuff. That's cool. But like, I don't know that I would have been willing to like put down like actual like a significant chunk of money to play what looked like at launch an Overwatch clone, even though it obviously is both different and more than that, if only because of the like Marvel like skin.
I don't want to call you out on the podcast, but I know 100% for a fact you would have spent $70 on that game after the first time you watched me and Farmer play it. You'd be like, I'm buying it. I'm in.
Maybe.
I 100%
know that. You wouldn't have bought it, though, Johnny. That's the thing. You and I wouldn't have bought that game.
Well, no. I will say this. I think I would have, because I bought Overwatch.
Yeah, but I would have been like, I'm not ready to jump back into another Overwatch game. I know I wouldn't have bought it.
Let's go back. It's like Overwatch 2 exists and is free, and I don't play it.
Let's look at it in the time that we were actually buying games, and they weren't just a ton of free to play games on the market, though, right? Because it's not all in a vacuum, too.
Yeah.
So if we go back, if it came out in the era, well, not even 10, 15 years ago, like 7 years ago, five, you know, if it was in that era, right? Yeah, I totally would have just bought it.
Yeah, if nothing else is coming out.
I've talked about it on this stupid podcast of, not stupid podcast, this stupid decision I made that you guys all pressured me into buying Evolve for full price, and we played it one time. Yeah. We all definitely would have bought that game if we bought Evolve at full price.
But there are just so many games now, too. Like, I mean, right. I don't know, like that gets more complicated with like actually having to choose which games. Like, there are like probably like 6 or 7 games that I really, really, really want to buy that I haven't yet, because I can't decide which game to buy first. And like, I don't want to like buy them all at the same time, because that's a heavy hit. Right.
Right.
I mean, like, it's more difficult now. And I don't necessarily know that like a game with a limited appeal, because extraction shooters are that. Right. I don't know how that does in a market with a price tag attached to it. I would hope that it does well. Like, a bunch of people bought Hunt, right? And this is Bungie, right? Like, Bungie is the shooter studio, you know? Like, say what you want about like Destiny and drip feeding story and all the problems that like come with like how much they've nerfed or like changed things and made things harder for players or whatever over the years. Or, like, even their studio problems or anything. But they know gunplay. They know gameplay, you know? Like, I mean...
That is true. They're pros at that. If they're still the same Bungie that we know and love, that's the trick. You know?
Right. Well, if it's not just the name of the studio and everyone's different inside. Well, but here's the thing going back, though. This is an opportunity And no one's going to think like this. Nobody cares. I understand that. All these people complaining, they just want to complain. But, like, you can't complain about an $80 game and then complain about a $40 game. That's
yeah,
also
actually that's fair. Yeah, I you think that's actually a pretty that. Good point. Yeah, if especially when we're people, talking about like high budget games that are sure to right. have content behind that, like pay price. You know, like I
you
mean,
you know, it's going to be
sure
supported.
That this isn't. Yeah, I'm sure that this isn't going to launch, and you're going to think, oh, this should have been free. You know, right. like after launching it, I'm sure that you get enough content to justify that $40. But
and yeah. it's just like. What people should do, what gamers should do if they were against the $80 Super Mario or Mario Kart World game, is people should be supporting this to send a message. The same thing with Helldivers 2, right? Of like, hey,
yeah,
you know what? We want these cheaper games. Look at how well these cheaper games are doing compared to these full price ones, right? People... It's literally half off almost.
And
right?
honestly, it's really good for the market, really, and for gaming in general. Even though we have too many games overall, for AAA studios to put out like lower price point, like lesser games. You know, like I mean, right. they're still AAA remember games, Xbox, but they're not as expansive Xbox or whatever. They're not full priced. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think it's actually really good to have the budget behind the game, but the lower price point and like not as much like Squadrons, I think, was a great example, too, of like, you know, like even though I didn't play that a ton, even though I have my problems with some of the gameplay aspects of that, I think it was really cool that they did it. You know, I mean,
I think my biggest problem with the gameplay of Squadrons is that I'm terrible at it. And I
yeah, I think that's my
better.
Problem, too. I mean, but they also were very, very clear, like, hey, this is what you're getting. Like it, yeah. they promised that it like they came out and said this isn't a live service game, we're not going to continue supporting this. Like they put out a few things or whatever, but like it was more of a traditional game and it was yeah. priced accordingly, you know. I mean, I think that's fair,
and I think it is fair to say in the market, for example, so but then I'm going to separate this. So I'm talking about the people who are complaining about this price can't complain about this price, but the people who are saying that no, this is too expensive, it's similar to this game, which is free, then just keep playing the free game, right? You don't have to support it. But then also, let's go around. Marvel Rivals is a free game. I've already spent $60 in Marvel Rivals on skins and battle passes just a few months in, right? Like, it's not free. It's not a free game in that sense. All right, for those listening, David just left. This would be really funny to just end the podcast now, don't you think so, Farm?
Yeah.
Oh, nope, never mind, he's back.
Oh, there
hey,
he is.
D, welcome back.
No, I dropped out. I don't know what happened there, but...
Oh, no, I was about to wrap up. Be like, all right, that's it, everybody, bye.
but this is the podcast.
People, like... As far as that goes, I mean, I guess in the end, my feeling about it with the lower price point and even people complaining about like, oh, well, Apex is free, so it should be free. That's not the message you want to send. Right.
Right.
I understand yeah. being no, like, 100%. No,
yeah.
this shouldn't you should make it free. Well, you know what? Like company, no one is owed video games. No one is owed a free game when people are working on it and doing that kind of stuff. Right. And well, so and like you
like
should
business.
Reward them for doing it.
Yeah, it's kind of like the developers. I mean, at that point, it's the developer's decision, you know, and going back to kind of Rivals. I mean, they've got to be making way more money than if they would have made it like a $40 price point or $80 price point or whatever. I mean,
especially
sure.
after they fired a ton of people.
There you go. They're making way more percentage. Wow. But I mean, you just think about. Any of those, if there's somebody out there who has to have all the Marvel stuff and they're not going to miss out on any of that stuff, yeah, they're raking it in. I don't know. I'm interested to see what a $40 price point does for it. I'm totally gonna get it. I am too.
Like, I mean, like when it comes down to it, this seems right up your alley, Farmer. I think you'd enjoy it too, Johnny, but I know you've been burned by Bungie.
Here's the hard part. Is on one hand, Bungie made Halo. They made my favorite Halo game, and some of my core gamer memories come from Bungie games. And for that, I am grateful, and I like think about it. Right? Like on one hand, I don't. I almost
he appreciates them so much. On the other hand, he's never been burnt by somebody so much.
Right? Exactly. It's like. It's
I mean, we all have been burnt, you know, I mean, like, it's not just Johnny, but yeah.
But Bungie, it's funny because it's like there's like Halo Bungie and then my feelings about Destiny Bungie are pretty different. But honestly, you know what? Destiny Bungie, I don't know. I probably would like it. I don't know. I want to buy it.
This is an interesting question. Do you think you spent more time in Halo Bungie or in Destiny Bungie?
Man, you know, honestly, probably Destiny Bungie, to be honest with you.
And so that's why the pain feels even that much more, right?
I played a lot of Halo, for sure. Halo Bungie and such, but like the games were so different back then, right?
Yeah,
it's like
we didn't play them the same
an enclosed
way.
Experience and multiplayer matches. Reason, it's not the same.
It's not. They couldn't get away with us playing the same thing over and over again. But, you know, when Destiny came out, you know. Yeah.
Well, yeah. But I mean, like, also, like, this might be good timing. It might be. Like, I mean, Hunt Showdown is, like, bigger than it's ever been. Other extraction games like Tarkov and stuff have found their legs. I don't know. This might be actually not too late. But it is kind of a crowded market specifically for this genre, and this genre is already kind of niche. So I don't know that the Bungie name is, like, enough to carry it, you know? Like, that's my only concern. Like, I mean, like...
Yeah, the gameplay is going to have to stand on its own legs.
Well, and, like, how many of us, like, are itching to play an extraction shooter, you know? Like, I mean, like, I'm not really. Like, because Bungie's involved, I will. But I mean, like, you know, like, when it comes down to it, like...
What is an extraction shooter? Do you mean like you are waiting?
It's kind of like a PvE PvP style.
Yeah.
Game.
Like Hunt?
A little bit, probably.
Yeah. 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 Hunt would qualify as an extraction shooter, I'm pretty sure. But essentially, like, yeah, like it's a big map. There's multiple, like, enemies. It's kind of like.
Gear
sort
bits?
Of like Apex, but there's NPCs all over the place,
yeah,
and then
kind of
like you get like gear and stuff, and you extract it. Yeah, like yeah.
Instead of being like all battle royale, where you're facing all the other players, instead they're adding those AI elements to it to make it more confined to like a few what squads, you know, that go in there and try to what beat the boss, then get out.
Right.
I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's definitely a little bit different than your normal like Fortnite or Apex or any of your battle royales that are out there. But
how about this?
That's an interesting element, though, for sure.
Well, and the maps are like pretty sizable, which is cool. Like, I mean, like the map of Hunt is pretty big when it comes down to it. You know, there's like allegedly like between like three or four maps here. One of them at least might actually have puzzle elements similar to like kind of like a raid like thing, which sounds really cool, or a dungeon like thing.
Yeah, love that.
But like the maps are like when you're saying that we're only going to get like three to four maps at launch, like these are going to be big like battle royale ish maps because you're going to have like up to 20 players on a map, you know?
Oh,
I mean,
20 players, nice.
Oh. The maps vary based on size, but like, I mean. Yeah.
Well, I'm interested to see it because or play it because it's totally a different thing than like what I've been playing as far as Hunt. Like it's a whole more sci-fi esque, all these futuristic elements or like these planets that just could be painted in any way or fashion or whatever. I mean, I'm interested in all these plants and things. I don't know.
Well, like in like the whole cyberpunk like kind of like. Deal, you know, and then like apparently like you're inhabiting like these like robot bodies or whatever for whatever reason, and you're like also rebelling against like a corporate like overpower or something. Like that sounds kind of cool as a premise. Like the art style looks really neat. There was an 8 or 9 minute like cinematic that they put out That was really, really cool. Like, I don't know. Like, the whole style of it appeals to me. And I know Bungie does good, like, gameplay. Like, in terms of, like, you know, shooting and movement and weapons and all of that. And I know that when Bungie actually focuses on their PvP, they're really good at balancing, you know? Whereas, like, obviously Destiny, they didn't care as much. Or also, it's really difficult with Destiny when you're bringing in your own weapons from the PvE side, you know? And there's a billion weapons. But I've got hopes for, like, this game in, like, theory. I just, yeah, we'll see.
What if what they did instead was they unnerfed my helmet from Destiny 2?
Like, we're not going to make any more games. What we really want to focus on is unnerfing the nerfs that we did in Destiny.
Yeah, how about we just try to undo the damage that we did? You know, that would be nice. Well, I would like that.
And allegedly, most of their team is still working on Destiny, so maybe they will. You know, maybe they will. I think, honestly, at this point, with Destiny 2 specifically, until they announce Destiny 3, they should just go wild, at least with the PvE side. Like, just, like, let things be unchecked or whatever. Let people have, like, ridiculous powers or whatever. Don't nerf anything. But I've been saying that for a while, and, like, you know,
I keep on nerfing things, so. I love this from David of just being like, hey, how about, this is it, guys. This should go on, is this the title? I think this is the title this week of, hey, video game companies, why don't you let us have fun? Right?
Like, pretty much.
Yeah. Hey, guys, let's just let them have fun.
Hey, can we have fun with games again?
Yeah, gamers, just let us have fun, please.
One of the things that troubles me about, like, what they've said about this game is that they want it to be more social than Destiny was, like, in terms of, like, bringing in casuals, right? In terms of, like, people, like, coming in and, like, just, like, being able to have fun and, like, dip out. But that means that they still haven't figured out a way to make Destiny appealing to, like, new lights after 10 years. Like, I mean, that's kind of a problem because, like, that game should be easy to, like, kind of, like, once you get past that initial hurdle of understanding it, you're fine. But that initial hurdle is a really big one, you know?
And it's just, not. Yeah. It's not that big. Listen, if Destiny taught me anything, is that every problem can be solved with a gun. Okay.
I mean, true.
And just getting good. Remember?
Getting good. More bullets. That will solve this issue. Just shoot more.
I just figured out David's slogan. It's great. He's gonna love it. Make games great again.
No.
You know what? Should we make some merch with that?
We could make
a hat too. Like a red hat that says "Make" and then it says "Games Great."
Put in the DJD line.
I will burn it all down.
Okay, we got to do this.
Brick everything
and send it to ourselves real quick. Get rid of it.
I'm way too emotionally invested in, like, the world at large to, like, be able to handle the that world. Even as a joke.
Yeah. The world.
Wow. We didn't know.
Yeah. Listen, there's something you know said it was a lot of fun to joke about until they became very, very real, okay? Like,
listen. Then,
like, they became a lot less fun for me to joke about after that happened, so...
Listen. The thing that I'm invested in is my helmet from Destiny 2 that was ripped from my hands, okay? It still hurts. I should get a tattoo of that helmet. That would be funny.
It must hurt because I think that's what we've been talking about from the beginning of this podcast and now close to the end.
Honestly, when I asked D, like, what does he want to talk about? He said Marathon. And I'm like, what's that? And he's like, the new Bungie game. I actually sighed. I was like, God, Bungie. I don't know.
I mean, you're a cybernetic mercenary, you know? You're like scouting the remains of a lost colony, you know? You're finding, like, gear and, like, you know, ranking up. Come on. It'll be fun. It'll be great.
You're like, You're like describing my children's future lives in like 20 years.
I mean, this is good practice then, you know, like get them started early, you know, teach them the things not to do.
God. Ugh.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm excited for this, but I'm like somewhat like tentatively excited. We'll see. The thing is, like, they started off with the marketing so well with, like, just, like, I mean, I guess not since you guys haven't really heard a lot about it, but, like, they did, like, little snippets of things, you know, like, little flashes of things, little small, like, images or, like, little, like, short clips, you know, kind of like the what was it, Hunt for the Truth or whatever that Halo did, you know, like, similar to that kind of stuff. That's awesome. Yeah, good stuff. Really cool, like catching imagery, like rebel against like everything, or escape makes me God, or you know, like little like memorable lines and stuff. A really cool aesthetic to them, and then they had like a very short like teaser, which was well received. And then they did this, like, showcase thing, this reveal, which was a lot of the team behind the game talking about the game on couches. And it's just, like, I understand wanting to highlight your developers, and I even applaud that as, like, a deep dive kind of thing. But as a game reveal thing, it just kind of took the wind out of the sails a bit.
See, here's the thing, right? And maybe I don't think I'm in the minority here. I actually think I'm in the majority here. I've never played a game and been like, I wonder who made this. Literally not once has that thought crossed my mind where I'm like, you know what? I would love to hear from the developer about this. I just want to play the game and enjoy it. Right? That's all I want to do.
I don't think you're in the minority there. Yeah. I mean, I think it's so, like cool you said, to highlight developers, but I mean, like, when it comes down to it, like, show, don't tell, you know? Like, I mean, exactly. Like, that's, that should, yeah.
Exactly. Follow the age-old tell, don't show, right? That's what's great. Right. We just want you to tell us, don't show it to us. You know who does great with show, don't tell? Sometimes. I should say sometimes, because I'm thinking specifically of, they did a great job with Breath of the Wild doing that. Of like just doing hands-on and showing people stuff and getting people excited that way. I thought they did great with that. I was going to say, is there anything from our Switch 2 conversation last week we wanted to revisit before we finish? Because I remember you specifically said there were a couple things you wanted to bring up.
I think I did bring up the one thing that was like really sticking out to me. So I think I'm good on that.
You don't want to talk about the subscription to pay for that chat button on the Switch 2?
I mean, that's just the Nintendo Online subscription, isn't it?
I have no idea. I think so.
Probably.
Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, like, that's fine.
I already pay it.
Yeah. I wonder if the price will go up for that, but I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm not sure.
I think it's really kind of like bizarre for Nintendo to continue to reinvent wheels and then claim that they're like, hey, look, we made a wheel. And it's like, yeah, this already exists. Like, what are you talking about? Which, I mean, like, congratulations. You basically reinvented Discord. Good job.
right. It's not Discord. It's like their own party system. Okay. It's different.
Well, yeah. Oh, well, it's proprietary and not as widespread, and yeah, like probably worse. But you know, I mean, like, hey,
probably it exists. Not, I mean, like, definitely worse. Definitely worse. There's no way.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I haven't met a lot of people. I've been asking like streamers and different people questions. I haven't met a lot of people who are saying they need one day one. Most of the people I know are saying they're going to wait.
If it's 500 or around there, I'm really, really tempted just for the DK game that comes out like shortly after or whatever. But like, we'll see.
They have not announced a title that I'm super keen on, except Farm. You're here. David said that they announced a sequel to Astroneer.
Yes. Oh, really? Yes, actually. They did announce that, but I imagine that's not exclusive. I imagine that's coming to everything. I'm not sure.
Wouldn't it be hilarious if it was a Switch 2 exclusive and we all have to buy Switch 2s to play it?
At the end of the...
That would do it.
That was the crazy thing about the Switch 2 showcase was at the very end they had an exclusive from Software, which was essentially... It looked basically like a Bloodborne 2, kind of, you know? Like, I mean, like, different, but, like, it seemed very similar, you know? Like, almost Castlevania-like, I guess, more. But, like, yeah, really weird to, like, have, like, such a game like that be, like, exclusive to the Switch 2 out of all things. I was actually saying during my, my react, oh, it would be really funny if they did, like, a, From Software, like Bloodborne 2, and then they did that.
Well, it's really interesting to me because on one hand, Nintendo is the ones who have like so meticulously, you know, worked on their image, right? Like very purposefully made it so that it's a very family friendly and you don't associate that kind of stuff with them. But they like, so, cause I was going to say like, maybe they're trying to branch out of it, but they also are the ones who really hemmed themselves into it. You know what I mean? Like, right. Of like, oh, this is this game, this gaming console is not just for kids. It's for serious gamers. That's what that kind of speaks to me. Right. Of like, look, we have games like this too, but it's weird because they've also been pushing that image of like, you know, it's just fun, casual gaming. It's interesting to see them try and walk that line, you know, like, I don't know. I don't play any From Software games, so I'm not super interested. Astroneer 2, though, I am interested in that. Yeah. Is it Astroneer 2 or is it something?
It's called Star Seeker. Astroneer Expeditions is what it's called. Ooh. And it's a multiplayer voyage of discovery, cooperative expeditions, and camaraderie. The trailer showed like a ton of people, so it looked almost like MMO. It looked like basically what they said that they were going to make Astroneer into. Now they say that it's a very different game, so I am kind of curious what that means.
Yeah, me too.
But I mean, like, they'll have a summer update and then a larger content update in the fall, and they're still working on Astroneer, so I mean, I guess we'll find out. But yeah, like another game from that team, absolutely, let's go. Especially a game like that's like more like kind of like what they kind of said that they wanted Astroneer to be, like that also sounds really cool, you know. But
I am currently checking what is the price of Astroneer on Steam. Is it Steam Deck compatible? Because this would be a fun game to play on my Steam Deck. It is playable. It is $30. Maybe I'll just play it on Xbox Cloud. It's a premium game.
The one cool thing that the Marathon Showcase did do was like they had that cinematic thing at the end of it. They had a little bit of gameplay, like 1 to 2 minute videos, which I thought wasn't really enough to show off anything like really spectacular. It looks like what you would expect a Bungie shooter to look like. It looks like what you would expect an extraction game to look like. I wasn't blown away by those. They also showed off some like streamer like highlights from like when they invited like 40 streamers over to like kind of like test it out, play it. And then they have an alpha coming up on the 23rd to May 1st or May 2nd or something like that, which you have to go in their Discord to actually apply for. But the alpha is also NDA, which kind of sort of speaks volumes about like the level of confidence they have right now, which is kind of worrisome. Because I don't know how many NDA alphas Bungie has done in the past. I feel like not very many. I think their alphas, at least their like public alphas that they announced like signups for Destiny were like not under NDA. I'm pretty sure you could just talk about stream whatever for those, but I'm not sure. And then Reach definitely was public.
Yes.
So
yes, I enjoy that a lot.
And not just the betas, but like also the alphas that they let people do. So we'll see. But like, also what they did do 2 hours before the stream started, which they gave the announcement for the stream or whatever, but 2 hours before the stream started, they had essentially you were controlling something and moving around, and you couldn't really tell what. And as people moved it further and further around, because chat was moving it on like Twitch and YouTube, it became clear that it was a drone moving around their office space, which was kind of cool, actually. Like chat, like kind of like steering it towards like the announcement area or whatever. But I would have done it differently with like a lot more like game related things, you know, like hidden Easter eggs or whatever, and like that kind of stuff. I don't know.
Interesting, because like these kinds of fancy, like I saw something about Marathon, because I think Green Skull posted something about it. Like he got this box and it had this really cryptic message and stuff. And I'm really on the fence about it, because like I kind of like it, but I also kind of don't like it. I kind of just want to have all the information and just be told what it is, right? Like, but there is something fun, especially as a community, going through it and finding it out and like speculating and stuff like that. But I don't know. I go back and forth on it.
And then just like Hunt the Truth or whatever, like some of the like actual like stuff that they've had like kind of like in the background have been like ridiculously cryptic, to the point where like there's no way that I consider myself like not dumb, but there's no way that I could ever have like managed to figure it out. I would have needed to like be like a very, very nichely invested into like, I don't know, like planetary alignments or something,
right?
Like, I mean, like the it was just really, really bizarre, like niche, like kind of like some of the stuff that they've done for Destiny, like the secret messages or whatever, like hidden in the midst of like things that are like five ciphers deep or whatever, and like make absolutely no sense to like someone who's just casually looking it over, but like someone who's super into like backwards forwards like cryptography, like, I mean, like, might be able to like maybe with a team of people kind of figure out what it means. Like, I mean, like, just really, 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 really deep like ARG stuff. It almost kind of reminds me of Astroneer in a way, where like Astroneer, some of the stuff that they do in that game are like almost like you can tell these are like scientists who develop this, because they have a very specific way of thinking, you know, like. You can tell, like, with some of this ARG stuff, these guys are nerds, okay? Like, these guys are crazily deep
nerds.
They
pretty much have to have a this study group to go through it, you know? You're going to have to invest lots and lots of time outside of just playing the game. It's like another level.
But also, they've been trying to, like, outsmart the Destiny community for 10 years. And, like, I mean, like... very occasionally they fail, you know? So, I mean, I get them, like, trying to make it, like, super complicated and everything. I get it. But that also places it way out of reach of, like, me, you know?
Right, exactly. Pretty wild. Well, anyone have any closing comments before we wrap up?
Watch that 9-minute cinematic short, the Marathon thing. Yeah, it's actually really cool.
Everybody's got to get Astroneer 2. Yeah.
Everyone, stop complaining about games costing money and just get a job. You know, how about you just do that instead? And I know what I sound like.
You don't have time to play games, but you wish you had time to play games.
I know what I sound like saying that. I know what I sound like saying that, but it's just like, it's just gone too far. It's too far, you guys. Just like, hey, it's $40. Buy it or don't buy it. Either way, you could do it quietly, you know? Just do that.
But better yet, you know, go read a book.
Ooh, there you go. Go read a book. Yeah, and you know what? Go read the Witcher series, because it got better. Anyway, make sure you guys like or subscribe or do any of that stuff, and we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Get out of here, Craig.